This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Concara Panagiotidis is the CEO and founder of the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre, which is now the largest independent human rights organisation in the country. You might remember we spoke to Con a few months ago about his cookbook, A Seat at My Table, Philoxenia, which is an absolutely amazing book. Con has been awarded the 2023 Melburnian of the Year, and we're very excited to welcome Con back to Joy Drive. Good afternoon, Con.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me again.
Congratulations on becoming a Melburnian of the Year for 2023. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think first it makes me immensely proud because I love our wonderful city of Melbourne, the most multicultural and incredible Indigenous city in the world. I'm proud for my mum who sacrificed so much and my late father. And I'm proud as a Greek Australian as well. So it was, and I kind of really love the idea that my city is celebrating, welcoming and being compassionate towards refugees, and it's lovely to see that celebrated. So I feel very, very honoured.
You set up the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre. I understand that was a project with some of your students. Did you expect it to be so successful in providing essential services and information to those seeking asylum?
No. Look, at the time, it was set up in 8 weeks as a TAFE class project, and at the time I was just trying to provide a little food bank so people weren't going hungry in Melbourne and hoping it might do a little bit of good. And I could never imagine it would have grown to the movement that it's become now and had the impact that it's having. I feel very, very grateful that so many everyday Melburnians have, you know, have given their time and their support to make this possible.
The Asylum Seeker Resource Centre, you don't take funding from the government. Why have you made that decision?
When I started the ACC at 28, I noticed that a lot of charities were doing wonderful work but were never able to speak about what was causing the crisis in the first place. And so the first decision I made was we'll never take money from the Australian government because we need to be fearless. We need to advocate without fear or favour. And I think so many wonderful charities get trapped in government funding, as in they can see the real causes are structural, are systemic, but they're not able to speak out about it or tackle them because they can't afford to lose their funding. So I prefer being powered almost entirely by the community because it allows you to talk like it is and to speak out when you need to.
We're in the midst, Con, of a skills shortage. The ABS has released figures that meant that Victoria will need to find homes for more than 1 million extra residents in the next decade. Should asylum seekers be seen as an opportunity to help fill that skill gap?
Yeah, 100%. It is ridiculous in the middle of a cost of living crisis and a skills shortage that I've got families all day today queuing up for our food banks because the current government won't let these people work. It's madness. Like, these are people in the prime of their lives with so many skills, hungry to work and to fill skill shortages. And imagine that sort of opportunity mindset, which is we can do the humane thing and also power our economy, because those already here actually help bring inflation down, because they're already here in that community, and the more we can fill those gaps, the lower inflation becomes, because the cheaper things become. And the reason this isn't happening is pure politics. You've got both Dutton and Albo so caught up in political point scoring versus how about you tackle some of the cost of living pressures that everyone is feeling. And I'd love to see that, but unfortunately at the moment we're not making any progress.
The previous federal government, you know, did, I suppose, promote or encourage fear within the community around asylum seekers. Why is it? What is it that they're scared of?
It's more about it's a vote winner. You know, when you don't actually have a vision for what the country can be. Like, when I talk to most people, their stresses are housing affordability, food security, climate change, violence against women, homophobia, transphobia in the community. Yeah, they're the sorts of things that people want to see positive change on. But when you're not tackling the hard stuff, what is easy to do? Make people afraid of a stranger. Make people afraid of the unknown. You saw that with the referendum. Like, our opportunity to do just by First Nations people got lost by just a campaign of misinformation and fear. And it's just easy. It's like right now, you've got Peter Dutton trying to rip up hysteria and fear because it doesn't require you to lead. It doesn't require you to solve anything. How about you solve the public housing crisis, the social housing crisis? How about you solve electricity prices? How about you have a plan on climate change? How about you fix things that actually impact the quality of life, not the refugees and migrants who come here, work as hard as you could possibly imagine, give back 10 times what the country gives to them, as they have since World War II. You know, we know this is the facts. You know, 49% of Victorians were born overseas or a parent of theirs was. Like, we have this wonderful Indigenous multicultural, you know, city and country, and we should be celebrating that. And what have we seen in the last 2 months? Division and demonization and dehumanization. And does that make anyone prouder? The answer is no. And we saw this with marriage equality as well, yeah? Mm. When us being so proud to come out so strong then, and we spoke about this last time around, we saw the same stuff, but it didn't work because love won. And we need compassion to win now as well, and that's what we need from these people. And they put these issues because they're bullies, and it's easy to pick on people that don't have voting power. They don't have a say on election day.
Exactly. We're chatting with Con Paragiotidis, CEO and founder of the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre and now Melburnian of the Year for 2023. Con, just on that fear, I suppose with the clock ticking down to a federal election in 2025, are you worried that that dial is going to be turned up and asylum seekers will be used as a scare campaign, particularly with the nation already worried about cost of living, the economy, and, of course, climate change?
Yeah, I'm really, really worried. And I think you can see that in the tone of what the government is using at the moment, the hysteria it's had in response to the High Court ruling that indefinite detention is unlawful, the dehumanising of a handful of Palestinian refugees that have come to safety here to be with family, and the language being used to cause panic. The lack of what Dutton and Tinia talking about, the importance of social cohesion, while he's sick to tearing it down, you know. And it's really disheartening, and I worry the next election is going to be about turning people against migrants and refugees and continuing to do so against Indigenous people through division and fear to win power, rather than, again, what do we all want right now? We want leadership and positive action on the issues that impact everyone's quality of life. And I always say this to people, if you can provide a living wage, food security, housing security for all Australians, the people I work with, they'll get looked after as part of that. If we build a stronger economy, a stronger health system, you know, fill these skill shortages, everyone wins. There's a seat at the table for everyone. And what these politicians want to trick us into is going, oh, it's that poor refugee who has got 2 cents to their name. They're the one somehow, some single mum from Afghanistan is somehow outbidding you to it for your home. Like, I don't think they're the ones outbidding you. It's likely investors' negative gearing. That cost of living pressure is not because some migrant, your Uber driver or working as an emergency doctor in a hospital. It's the big, you know, the big banks and the big corporations that are gouging us. Like, who's become the fall guy are those who have the least amount of say in economic capital and political capital in this country. And who's driving that cost of living? It's corporations. You know, it's greed. It's not working class people, which are the people I work with. And that's what we've been tricked into, thinking we're the enemy of each other. And government and corporations, we're about to give us a $300 billion tax cut to the richest people in this country. And yet families are queuing to get food banks, and people can't rent within 20 km of the city. Who's causing that? Refugees and migrants? No, they're the ones keeping our economy going, actually. And if we let people work here, they'd be the ones filling our skill shortages soon.
Con, I feel like the media certainly play a role in promoting that fear, don't they? I mean, particularly some of the commercial outlets who are known for using that fear. And I always have this wish that two things. One, people would listen to independent news, whether it be, you know, ABC, SBS, or even us. Or, you know, the other thing is that people would look at policies when it comes to elections, rather than getting into the emotive stuff. Read your policies. It doesn't matter who you vote for, as long as you align with what their policies are.
Well, that's exactly. Look, I think about it. You look at the Murdoch media, and you look at the harm it's done, even recently, in the way in which it's vilified and dehumanized the trans community, the way it's attacked safe schools, you know. Mm. You know, when you think about, you know, young trans people desperately trying to find safe places to get an education, to grow up, and you look at the hysteria, you look at the attacks recently on drag shows and the targeting of that community too. You look at, we saw this back in during the marriage equality. Like, I think I'm pointing to these examples to go, who's the enemy here? And going, this sort of right-wing media, it goes into humanize all of us. Like the people I work with here, we have a gender clinic that's been running almost 20 years. A big majority of our clinic are young LGBTIQA plus people who are fleeing torture and persecution for being gay, for being trans. We're working with people who are being persecuted for being women, for being climate activists, for being union organizers. They're us. That's what I'm trying to get at. And we are so busily being divided here. And it's like, who are we talking about? You know, like when I got the Mabuna of the Year Award, when I got up and spoke, I talked about that what I was hoping I could do over these 12 months is be an ally to young people trying to tackle climate change, to be an ally to the LGBTIQA community anytime they face discrimination and prejudice, to be an ally to people working to tackle housing affordability and food insecurity, to be an ally to communities with disabilities, whichever community they're my, that's who I have much more in common than I do a Peter Dutton or a Murdoch Media or a Big Four bank or a big supermarket. My allies, my people are my community. And imagine if we went back to first principles around, you know, the book, you know, we talked about last time with Philip Sinia, to welcome the stranger, love for the stranger. Imagine if we realized we actually have so much more in common with each other, which is we all want safety in our community, dignity, to be seen, to be loved, to be valued. And we as a community need to come together, because I'm really worried the fracturing more than ever before. A lot of people being left behind, and the have-nots are getting bigger. And exactly what facts and truth are gone out the window, fear is king. And the way we can respond to that is love and solidarity and building people's movements together. It's not far-fetched, this idea, but how about we look after... I remember when we took a really strong stand for marriage equality, and I remember I had people, you know, going, stay in your lane, and we're going to stop volunteering, and go, Nady, I'm like, go. Just, I don't want you. I don't want your money. I don't want your time. My lane is a lane or anywhere where people are being oppressed and disenfranchised. So imagine if we started thinking like that. Our lanes are anytime we see anyone being discriminated against and left behind. And so I always keep talking about this. Whatever they do to refugees, whether the guinea pigs belong to the indigenous people, whatever they can get away with these people, they'll do to all of us, given the opportunity.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what.
And you talk about that connectedness in your cookbook as well. I've forgotten what the Greek word is for it.
Philoxenia,
that's right.
Yeah, welcome the stranger, yeah.
Absolutely. Con, congratulations again on the award. I absolutely love your passion for social justice and appreciate the time you've taken to chat with us on Joy today.
And thanks for making the time. I'm so grateful for all the wonderful work that Joy does, and what a beacon for inclusion. And I'm so proud to be on Joy. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Con. That is Con Karapanagiotidis, the CEO and founder of the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre and now Melburnian of the Year.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.